Vera.
Hello, everybody. It's Vera with Uncensored Radio. I'm here with one of my favorite people on Earth, Trinx Sperry Donahue. She's a brilliant human, an artist, and a ghost hunter. And for our Ghosttober, we're going to interview Trinx and talk a little bit about her experience as a ghost hunter. Let me take off my lost kid tag here. So Trinx, you want to tell us a little bit about how you got into ghost hunting?
I would be happy to. And let me, first of all, thank you for allowing me to do this, because this is my passion, and I don't get to do it quite as much, or even talk about it quite as much as I used to. So anytime anybody says ghost hunting or ghost anything, I leap on them. So I'm very happy to talk about it. And just one more thing, my nickname is Trink, as Vera said.
Because we've known each other a long time.
Yes, that's my nickname. In some of the things I might talk about, I'll say Catherine, because that's my proper name. So just so you know, I'm all the same person. Catherine and Trink.
So there's only one.
we won't go to the backstory, just take my word for it. So, the ghost hunting itself, let me back up a little bit to when I was a kid, because I was thinking a lot about this once you asked me to do this, and I thought, well, nobody, it wasn't like my mother or my grandmother were like into seances or anything. It wasn't really, there was nothing going on in the family. But I did have some experiences when I was younger, and I did have a like for kind of scary things like Dark Shadows, which was in the 1960s, which you can do the math. I was little then, but I had to watch that every day. And then in 1963, when I was even littler, the best scary movie, in my opinion, ever is The Haunting. 1963, they did a remake, but the 1963 version is, it gets you with the sound. So it's one of those real, like, truly ghosty movies, not gross or anything. So I did like those things when I was little. When I was about 10, this is the first incident that I remember. I was just... To be blunt, I was standing outside the bathroom door waiting for my father to get done. And it was nighttime, and we didn't have a big house, but I was like looking from one end of the hall to the other, because for some reason, I guess I felt kind of uneasy. And when I looked down to the left, I saw this white, misty form, I guess you could call it. And it did scare me. So when I thought back, I thought, well, it wasn't a reflection on the... There was a door there, but it wasn't a reflection. I'd never seen it before. I only saw it that one time. But it did scare me. And then later, when I was like 14 or so, started to experience in the same house. It's a little hard to explain. I call it a shadow man, but he was not actually visible to me. He was more, I saw him mentally. And again, we're in the same Cape Cod house, so one whole bedroom was upstairs, my room. And anytime I wanted to go down the stairs, I could sense him just kind of lean in. He could look down the stairs, just standing there and watching me. And it was a really horrible feeling. It was very negative, and it was like he was angry about something. And man, I flew down those stairs. And I don't think I told anyone, probably because...
Who's going to believe you?
Well, who's going to believe me? I didn't understand it. I just knew it scared me. Excuse me. And after a few years, he seemed to dissipate. Mm-hmm. So... I have a theory on shadow men and shadow people, but we can talk about that later if it comes up. But anyway, so those are my earliest...
But you're absolutely a true believer.
Oh, I know. I can tell you 100%. There are dead people everywhere. And the only non-believers are the people who just haven't had an experience yet, which sounds simple, but it's true.
Right.
And I'll tell you, they are. They're literally, they may not know that they're in our midst, just like we don't know
that they're
vice
there,
versa.
Right.
So, but they are everywhere. Every case that I have gone on, which with my group that I joined in Rhode Island, every single case we have found evidence. And most of it is voice evidence, EVP, electronic voice phenomena.
Okay.
And whether that's just easy to pick up, easier to pick up than something else like a visual or asking them to, a spirit to knock on something, I don't know, but it's something that we captured every single case that we've been on. So,
and that's special equipment required. And
yes, I'll show you. I ought to bring some things.
Show and tell.
Yeah. So the basic equipment, and this is for anybody who wants to get into this, you can always go. I don't always recommend like cemeteries because I don't think a lot of dead people necessarily hang out there, but they're open to the public. So if you wanted to try getting into this, or you know someone who has an old house, or you live in an old house, it's not expensive to get started. The first thing I would recommend is a digital recorder,
mm-hmm.
and get one with that has the USB port, because
right.
you're going to want to put this information on your computer, because there's a really great program called WavePad that we use to edit and
enhance.
You can enhance, yeah. You can make it clearer. You can, very importantly, you can pinpoint where you thought you heard something.
Mm-hmm.
So, digital recorder, probably under $50 at the most. That's important. Another very popular, if you watch ghost programs, you'll have seen this many a time, which is a K2 meter. I just turned it on. This is to detect just energy, basically. A living person, unless you like knock it like this, a living person isn't going to set it off.
Okay.
But energy from a spirit or a ghost will set it off. And when they do, this one green light stays on all the time. And then they can, the more energy they have, more lights will light up. And when you go to red, you're very, very happy because they're really putting it out for you. So, and again, these are not expensive. You can even find them used online if you want to.
Uh-huh.
So that's a K2 meter. Other things in my arsenal are, this is a digital temperature gun.
Mm-hmm.
I got it for two reasons. One, for my tortoise, because I have to.
Uncle Peter.
Well, Uncle Peter passed away.
Oh, okay.
But he's still with us in the spirit world. The new guy's Pork is uh-huh. his name. So I have to keep temperatures on him, so this comes in handy for him, but it also comes in very handy on an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Because another piece of equipment that costs you nothing is your body and the feelings that you have. If you get shivers, if you get that feeling. We had one case where this type of equipment came in handy because the temperature in the room dropped 9 degrees within 5 minutes.
Wow.
If you were inside. So it actually could document it. Instead of just saying,
right,
it feels like it got cold in here. you know for sure because it's yes. on a piece of equipment.
Right.
So, and these, again, maybe $30 or $40.
Right.
Not expensive.
Probably Amazon.
Almost everything I guess. Correct.
Do they label it paranormal expense?
Some sites might.
Yeah.
Because I think people are starting to use them.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. They're actually kind of used for like heating and
Right. We had one at work.
Guys or whatever. Yeah. Or that.
We have to check the temperature in our fridge for injectables.
Yeah, see? Yeah, so they're more like almost an industrial kind of thing, but right. You can utilize it for ghost hunting too.
Right.
So
anything else in that fun
kit? Well, in my fun box here, I have, this is another one, again, not expensive. You can pay more, but this is an EMF, electromagnetic meter, basically. Uh-huh. And it's really, this is really meant for someone who works in plumbing and heating or electrical or something. Mm-hmm. But we use it in ghost hunting because when we get to a location, what we would first do is, you might, again, if you watch the ghost shows, do like a basic sweep. And meaning, if the people are feeling like they're feeling creeped out or they're feeling weird in a certain spot in the basement, what we'll do is we'll go down with this meter, turn it on there, and try to find first if there's a natural reason for them to feel that way. Because if you have like a fuse box that's emitting a lot of electromagnetic energy, that can literally affect how you feel. So we like to document that first. If it doesn't pick up anything natural, then we could use it further into the case to see if a spirit might utilize it to let us know that they're there.
Ice soda. I say that because I'm going to get them to endorse me one of these days.
Oh,
every
good.
Single time I'm on air, I have that soda. One of these days, I'm going to get them.
You'll get them. One obvious one, flashlight. Because we're normally investigating in the dark, even if we're in a house. And that's one question I get a lot is, why do you have to investigate in the dark? You don't have to, but there's some kind of common sense reasons why you might want to. Usually everybody's home from work, so the neighborhood is quieted down. There's not as many cars going by if you're in a neighborhood. I was going to say it allows the client to leave the premises. That might work better the other way around because they might be at work, but... Anyway, in general, it's quieter. A lot of the equipment that I just showed you works with lights, so that's how we determine if it's working, being worked by a spirit or not. So if you're in the dark, you're going to see that easier. The last piece I have is a little controversial. And the leader of my group, which is Ocean State Paranormal, they're in Rhode Island, but I'm still a member. And I can prove it because I have a permanent brand on me. So, Buddy Thayer is our leader and founder of Ocean State Paranormal. And we both go back and forth with how to pronounce this piece of equipment. He will say it different every time. Usually he says Ovilius, which there's not that many letters in the name. I call it an ovilus.
That's what the Australian women called it. They called it the obelisk.
The obelisk. Okay, yes. Then I'm right. The reason it's kind of, there's a lot of things to choose on here. Because I'm not super techie, the basic mode I choose is the dictionary. And that's the one I see people on TV. I don't see them really do much else with it than use it for a dictionary. So, it's controversial because... Okay, we got some words on here. I don't think they make any sense to us yet.
Is that energy here in my house?
February located. Did you buy the house in February or anything? Or
no.
Birthday in February?
My dad's birthday was in February.
Well, grand. It is a very grand house.
Yes, it is.
That's what it's used for. The idea being... I was going to say
that. I have chills. Yeah.
There is a already put in, for lack of a better word, dictionary in this piece of equipment for the spirits to choose from. So you ask a question and hopefully you'll get a response that makes sense to you for where you're at. Now it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of freaky. The thing you have to be careful of is not reading too much into it, which is very easy to do. But I have used it at my house, which is an old farmhouse. And when I was in the kitchen, it kind of did make some sense what it was saying. It was talking about like the washing machine, or it said wash. A couple things kitchen-wise. So it was making sense. I took it into the barn and I got nothing. Not one word.
Which, and that's where you saw the shadow man.
Shadow man's in the, yeah, outside the barn.
Okay.
Yes. But I kind of like that this worked inside the house, but not inside the barn.
Okay.
Because to me, that gives it more credence. Because if it worked all the time, everywhere, then it's probably not a spirit manipulating it.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel. So, yes, would you like to know about the Shadow Man?
I did talk to you about the Shadow Man the last time we went out to dinner. But yes. I'd love to hear the updates.
Okay, excuse me. Just plain water. when we first moved into the farmhouse where we're at right now, it was a very stressful time. We had just moved back to New York from Rhode Island, where we'd been for 16 years. A couple things happened with the details of the move and the realtors and the inspector that just were throwing a lot of stress on me. But that's when we saw the Shadow Man. And I say we because I'm not the only one who saw him. My husband also saw him. And I wasn't thinking anything like that. I mean, if the house was haunted, yay! But I was coming up the driveway and I looked at the barn and I could see all the way down from head to toe half of it was like a silhouette of a man, blacker than black, which I call Vanta black. That's a real color.
Right.
It's like the blackest black you can get. As soon as I looked up and saw him, faster than any human could move, he went like behind a barn, disappeared basically. And each time, I probably saw him three times, same spot, and that same thing happened every time, just move. And my husband saw him once or twice. Now, after...
Is Scott a believer or a non-believer?
Scott is very much a believer, and Scott is very sensitive. So, which I'm not, actually, believe it or not.
See, I don't think I am either. I believe that it's all around us all the time, but I believe there are people that are receptive, and I don't believe I'm one of them. Though there have been a few things that have happened that have like, huh?
Yeah, well, just... Pay attention to those things.
Let me tell you, later. We'll get into ghost stories later. Let's keep
going. Okay. Yeah, Scott's definitely sensitive. My sister, even though I said that there wasn't really anything in our family, it wasn't anything like overt, but my sister's pretty sensitive. My mother is very sensitive. So I don't think they really knew it. They didn't really tap into it. But I always felt that I wasn't, and I wished I was. However, I found over the years, the more I investigated with my group, the more in tune with things I got. Whether that's just being around it more, you know, just does that get you in tune with it, or I was kind of teaching myself to pick up on things. It's hard to describe, but I did find that I was getting a little more sensitive to feelings. The hard part is trusting it.
Yeah, I would believe that. I would also believe that that is a muscle, like any other muscle. Just like you can improve your mind, you can improve your psychic awareness, you can improve that.
Yeah.
You know, you can work it and find it and come in contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm kind of glad it's not like supernatural. I didn't mean that word in particular, but that it's not like a Teresa Caputo kind of thing,
right,
where you're seeing dead people all the time. I don't want that. So I'm kind of, I'd rather be the other way, where it's not a natural thing for me. But I totally believe, I've had the experiences, I've got the evidence. There's no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. And as far as relatives go, like deceased relatives, this is my theory, but because I know ghosts are all around us, and ghosts are people, first of all, they're just people. They just happen to be dead. But your loved ones are around you. They, my thoughts are, when you're having a special event, a birthday, a wedding, anniversary, anything like that, they're going to be in the room with you because they want to celebrate with you.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of people might agree with that.
So tell me about some of your, I remember when you first started with, well, it might have been, you might have been in for a while, but we lost touch for a few years there. When I first found out about your work with OSP, you said that your primary goal is always to prove that it isn't there.
Well, we do like to disprove things. We don't go in just sort of taking the client's word for granted. And I say client because probably maybe 60-40 at this point of what OSP does is residential cases. People call us or contact us via Facebook. They're worried because there's just weird stuff going on that they can't explain. Their kids are scared or they're scared. We never charge a fee. Most groups do not. It's kind of an unwritten thing that it's a little kind of unethical to charge for what we do. You have to really want to be in it for, it's not a science,
right?
But we would like it to be someday, so we're kind of working at it that way. So somebody calls us and asks us to come over and see what's going on. One of the tools that I showed earlier, the EMF meter, we would start with that. We would, as far as equipment, we'd go around the house to see if there's anything that would be making the client feel kind of weird. We would check out like some of our New England groups that are on TV now, like TAPS, who are plumbers. You know, they start off, but you have to be logical. You go down in the basement and you check pipes and you right. see if they're not held down properly. Maybe they're banging against something or rattling on something. We never tell them, you know, oh, well, you're probably crazy, but let's see what we can find. We don't do that. We, again, because we know how many ghosts are out there, we do kind of assume that something's going on, but, we have to investigate to find out. So, and if there isn't, which I can't really say because, like I said earlier, every case we've been on, we've gotten some sort of evidence. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be, there's basically 2.5 kinds of hauntings. There's residual, which is like a record player going around and around. The same thing happens all the time. I have friends who have this kind of haunting. If somebody, a woman who lived in the house, every day after she got up, she would come downstairs and go into the kitchen. Come downstairs and into the kitchen. Every single day. It's like a groove on a record that gets built into time. And so you might see that. That kind of ghost never alters what they do.
Uh-huh.
They don't interact with the living. They just go about their thing every single day. So those
kind
most
of like
people,
a muscle memory only in spirit form.
Right, exactly. Okay. And that's pretty easy to live with because they don't recognize us. I'm not sure really that that could be abolished because it's not an intelligent thing, which is our other kind of, we had a black cat just walk by. It's kind of cool. Hi, Halloween kitty. The other type is an intelligent haunting. Uh-huh. And so that's 99% of the time that I can think of with our group, that's what we get because we get responses to our questions. We've probably had some residual where we've had, we heard a woman humming as if she was like dusting in the dining room. Two of us heard that at the same time and we like looked at each other like, like they do on the TV ghost shows.
Right.
Did you just hear that? And I don't think that that ghost knew we were there. We also smelled her perfume. So that's another one of your senses that the equipment won't pick up, but you will. Residual, intelligent, and then the half that I'm going to put on there is, and I hate saying it, but I have to, demonic.
I would probably use the word malevolent.
Malevolent, we can use that word.
That's, you know.
And I'm hesitant with that because I really don't know how I feel about that because of my own religious beliefs.
Right.
However, we do have the case of which we do not speak. And we say that jokingly and not jokingly because it was the one case that we had that it did turn out to be something malevolent. We'll say malevolent.
Malevolent.
There were...
Oh, I got my mask on.
There were, this was a residential, there were ghosts, other ghosts, human spirits in the house, and we went in thinking one thing, that one of the ghosts was holding these, a male was holding these two females back from crossing over, and then when we had to bring, let me just digress for a moment. When we were called to this case, we tried several times to get there, and something stopped us at least a half a dozen times. I fell down and hurt my leg really, really bad. My buddy's wife injured her foot. Somebody else had like a car incident. It was like something didn't want us to go there.
Right.
Just, it never happened before, something like that. So, but we didn't know at the time that there was meaning to that. But as I said, there were human ghosts there. Again, we thought the male was keeping the females from crossing over. We brought a medium in who identified who these people were. Excuse me.
Not a problem.
And she... We only use one medium, and, you know, a lot of people feel kind of weird about mediums because they think, you know, anybody can make that up. They can make up anything. This woman, first name's Amy, I won't say the last name, but I give her 100% validation on her skills because I worked with her a lot, and she's the real deal. So... Eventually, she was able to cross over those three spirits, but the original problem remained, and the original problem turned out to be something malevolent, the D word. The way we found that out is we did actually bring in a second medium, who, when she went down into the basement, pointed to the corner, and said, it's over there, and I'm going upstairs. She's like, I don't deal with this. And as she walked up the stairs, Buddy was behind her, and she grabbed at her back, and it was like, you know, oh, what, you know, like, what the heck? And when they got upstairs, lifted up her shirt, and she was scratched, which we took photos of. So that actually happened. The mediums at this point, they were out. They're right. Like, we do ghosts, we don't do this stuff. So we had to call in a demonologist. I have to say the D word, sorry. And let me say, Rhode Island and New England are, it's a small area.
Mm-hmm.
The paranormal community is pretty tight. And everybody who's been around for a while are more than willing to help another group or refer you to someone, or I can do this, I can do that. It's nice. It's a real community. And so Buddy knew of Joe Andre, is his name. He's a demonologist. And we brought him in. And that was a wild night. It was scary.
Uh-huh.
It was really scary because we were all in the dining room, and he's saying the stuff he needs to say, a lot of religious stuff. And everybody, there was probably six or seven of us, including the homeowner, who was always there. There was the homeowner who was in her 30s, her granddaughter, who was only two, and her mother, who's probably in her 60s at the time. It was those three females. Everybody in the circle was sweating, and it wasn't warm in the corner. Everyone was sweating. Everyone got a headache in the back of their head. This all happened at the same time. It was... this is why we don't like to talk about it, because it was something... We don't do this.
Right.
That's why we called Joe in, because, right. You know, we'll investigate ghosts all you want. Again, they're just people. They just happen to be dead. I don't want to elaborate too much more on it. Unfortunately, it did not have a great ending. No one died, but, you know, it didn't go the way we wished it would have gone. I do want to comment on one thing, though, when I say they're just people. Ghosts. Not the malevolent things. Those, I think, were never really people.
Right.
Never humans. They're
just energy.
Yeah, they came from wherever. But I don't... My opinion is they're not. They were never in human form. However, if you were... What words can we say? Can we swear?
Oh, yeah, we're uncensored.
Okay.
I always have to... They have to rein me in because I'll drop the F-bomb like crazy.
Well, I was just going to say asshole. If you were an asshole in life... You decide to stay on the earthly plane,
mm-hmm.
more often than not, you're going to be an asshole ghost.
What are you guys doing? I agree.
They're taping for the show.
Oh. Well, that's what we found. And if you're funny, I have a story about we had a funny ghost. Again, probably pretty humorous in life. If you stay here... You tend to retain those human qualities. If you know, I don't think everyone stays here. I think you have, my opinion is you have options. If you want to go to heaven or whatever you call, you know, the good place, I think you have that option. If you want to stay here, I even think you can come and go.
That would be lovely. It's like the visiting plane.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Just like I said about the family events or
right.
the birth of a baby or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're going to want to be part of it. So I do feel that they can kind of come and go. Or they can be here all the time.
I've had a few experiences, even though I say I don't feel like much there. I think we talked about this a little bit when I was in my 30s. A long time ago.
2 years ago.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm some friends of mine and I moved into a house. One of the friends actually bought the house and was renting us each room so that he could make the mortgage. And it was a pretty modern house. It wasn't that old, but some pretty intense things happened in this house. There was a multiple fatality car accident in the front yard.
Yikes.
These young teenagers were coming home from a dance and they missed the corner. It was right on the bend in the road. And they hit the tree in the front yard. And the story of the accident was pretty horrific. Multiple dismemberments. It was gruesome.
Yeah.
And then the other event in that house was that the teenage son of the last family to own it was coming home from a lake dance on the road on the back of the house and had a car accident with a drunk driver. They were struck a drunk driver. And the back of the house was these beautiful floor-to-ceiling picture windows, and the family could see the accident and had no idea it was their son.
Oh!
Yeah. So there were those two very horrific and very traumatic events at this property. And it's not like the place was uninhabitable. It wasn't like it, but things would happen. They were in that living room with the floor-to-ceiling windows. There were transom windows at the top for ventilation. Okay. And they were swollen shut. They were painted shut. And every once in a while, they'd start popping open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they were so high up, you had to have a special stick with a little hook on the end to open them and close them. If you were trying to open and close them, you'd be tugging and yanking. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it just, boop, close, boop, close. And then another night, Jim and I, he's the one, the homeowner, were sitting at the kitchen table. And the knobs started to pop off. It had a tabletop, countertop stove, and then built-in range.
Yep.
And the knobs just went.
Oh my gosh! Oh my!
And then the other thing that happened that was really kind of amazing was we were going out. We were all going out. We used to hang out together and go out together, and we check the coffee pot. Everybody's like, coffee pot's off. Yep, coffee pot's off, mm-hmm. right? And Jim was meticulous about the coffee pot because he really feared coffee pot fires.
Right, yeah.
So he actually unplugged it.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to our favorite bar, Spirits, and we were sitting there and we were talking with this gentleman who was a firefighter, mm-hmm. and I made fun about the fact that Jim is so paranoid about coffee pots. Even coffee pots are the number one source of fire. You should be paranoid about it. This is for real. Those are, you know.
Oh, no.
We got home, and the coffee pot was plugged in and on.
Get out.
No. Really.
You know, here's my explanation, only knowing what you just told me.
Right.
Sadly, when people, especially young people, die tragically and quickly, unexpectedly like that, I think they tend to just wonder what the heck just happened. What happened? And they're still here, you know, their soul, they're still here. They probably see their body, I'm guessing, but being that it was a lot of young people who were tragically killed, that can keep people earthbound, at least for a while. And then, being kids with the knobs,
right.
I'm thinking that they're just messing with you because they can.
And they did.
And the coffee pot, I wonder, you never know if they followed. Maybe they followed you and they wanted to go down, you know, well, let's go to a bar. Nobody can stop us now, right? Maybe they followed you or somehow overheard the story and, again, were just messing with you.
Knew how paranoid Jim was about the coffee pot.
Right, because that's so specific.
Yeah.
You know?
It was pretty strange.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know? But, I mean, it's not like we were ever afraid in that house. It's not like anybody,
right.
you know, woke up and felt the fear of death.
Right.
You know,
right.
we just had these really strange, and it was enough to make you home, but
you know,
not enough to make us all move.
Well, most of the time people can live with the spirits that are in their house. Mm-hmm. We, you know, as a group, we usually would ask people, do you want our medium to try to move them on? Are you okay with them being here? A lot of times people are okay with it because they realize they're either people who, well, they 99% of the time used to live there, or in that tragic case, that's where the accident happened.
Right.
So that's where they're hanging out. They're kind of okay with it, as long as they're not like little room trying to, boop, you know, scare yeah. you, pop out of the closet and scare you. People can cohabitate with spirits.
Right.
Again, they're most of the time they're kind of just doing their own thing. They might be jokesters that they like to move things around.
Right.
They might do things to try to get your attention that could be any number of reasons, but they may want to get your attention for some reason or another. But like I said, just try to stay calm. Know that they're just people. But the one point you made, which is important or interesting in my eyes, is that you said it wasn't an old house. And it doesn't, we've gone to all sorts of different places and houses. It doesn't matter if your house was built in fact, we went to one that was built like in maybe the 1970s. And it was, I believe it was, I don't want to be too specific because it's a little sensitive area, but someone in the group's relative, their cousin, lived in that house. So they felt that he was around now and then, and they just wanted to talk to him, you know, and see. But that was a new house. Just as important as recognizing its new architecture is a lot of people will go to an old house. How old's this house?
1830s.
Okay, so 1830s.
Almost 200 years
yes,
old.
Yes,
really.
That's cool. But it doesn't mean that if this house were haunted, that the ghosts here are from 1830. It doesn't mean that. And we have to remember that when we're investigating.
Well, I mean, it's when my dog died, you know, for a couple months, I could hear him in the hallway. I would hear his, he always said he hated to go to the groomer. He wouldn't let anybody clip his nails, so his toenails were always long. And you could hear him walk down the hall.
I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, that happens to a lot of people, and I know some people, well, it's just because I'm used to hearing it, you know, so I think I'm hearing it, or it's wishful thinking or whatever, but I think they hang around for a while, the pets, for whatever reason. Mostly that's what they're used to, is being around you.
Right.
You love them. They love you.
Right.
I haven't really experienced a pet lingering.
Yeah, it didn't go on too long. It was like maybe 6 months after.
Oh, that's
you know,
good. Yeah.
It was a little while, but it stopped, and I didn't hear it anymore. You know, and it's easy to say this is all in your head. You're just missing him. But it's kind of a very specific sound.
Exactly.
Sound of their nails on the floor.
That's the thing too it gets me with non-believers, because they'll hear a sound that they know because they hear it every day in real life. They hear the door shut, or they hear something, the dog's toenails. Yet they still won't believe.
But, right.
You know, I don't know what gets them to flip. I'm not sure why people don't
watch him. The knobs fly off.
That's a hard trick to pull off if you're trying to fool someone.
Yeah, but, exactly.
I totally believe that pets,
right.
The pets do linger. Maybe they do it for us because
we miss them.
Oh yeah, it's
absolutely.
It's horrifying. They're a part of your family, and you know, you get a little piece of your heart ripped out when you lose a pet. That's right. How most people feel. So maybe they understand that, especially dogs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they just figure, I'll just hang around a little longer till I know she feels better. Excuse me, and she's gotten a little used to my physical body being gone.
Right.
And then I'll wait for her in heaven.
Aww.
So, yeah. Pets do that.
So what are some of your favorite haunts? Or your favorite investigations, I should
investigations.
Say. Investigations. That's probably the better word.
I do have some cheat sheets here because I thought if I don't want to blank on something, which I do a lot. So, get a little
there's
nervous.
There's
the
train.
There's the train. It's a real train.
Yes,
not
it's
a ghost
train.
At least we don't think so because we
know it's real.
Well, before I joined the group, when I was about 21, it was either go to art school or go to horse school. I have to say those words very separately.
Yes.
Because if you say horse school really fast, it sounds like the wrong kind of school to go to. So horse school. Horse school won out, and I found a school in Pennsylvania that I went to, and it was, try to describe it quickly, it was one large main house built in the 1700s, a smaller two-story house, probably built late 1800s, early 1900s, I'm really not sure. Just a square box kind of thing. And I, along with, there was my roommate, another girl, so there were three other girls and me. But anyway, I had a roommate in my room. We taught lessons, we learned how to teach lessons, how to train horses. That was the idea of being there. But because there were so many horses and so much to do, you were up like pre-dawn and you didn't come back into the house until after dark. You were just constantly busy, busy, busy. And because all your waking hours you're wearing riding boots, which get muddy and dirty, there's not a lot of rugs in the house. So it was basically wooden floors in the house I lived in, wooden stairs on the stairway that went upstairs. Landing at the top of the stairs, I just need to set this up for you. Again, no rug, just wooden floor there. So I came in late one evening, and I was in the bathroom, which is also at the top of the stairs, and I was probably washing my face, and the door probably just slightly shut from what I'm trying to remember. I was done, so I turned the light off and opened the door, and I hear someone coming up the stairs with boots on, which I hear all the time,
right?
So you know what it is. So I flipped, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were still, you know, blah, 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 but I said, oh, I'm sorry, and I flipped the light on, and there's nobody there.
Whoa.
And I did like a cartoon dive into my room and into my bed, and my roommate was in bed already, so,
right,
because I thought it was her. But that was one of those sounds you've heard, you know, 100 times, you know. Then the ghost story started coming out about the place. Everybody had something to say, but that was a totally no questions for me, that it was an experience happened only to me, and no doubt in my mind,
right,
that somebody, it might be residual, because
right.
It probably
come in every night, and,
yeah,
just like you did,
right,
exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was one of my before I joined the group ones. So, what I feel are some of the best of OSP, in my opinion. Okay, we went to an old house that was turned into, it was a three-story building house, turned into a bed and breakfast on Block Island. So we took the ferry over. It was, and the reason we were able to do this, it was March, so it was very cold and unpleasant out, but the bed and breakfast was empty. The owners granted us free rein. They even left for the night. So it was, and it was only Buddy, Scott, and I.
Mm-hmm.
three of us. And if you count the basement level, which did have rooms, then four stories. And lots of rooms because of it was built by, in 1885, by Dr. Champlin. He had his doctor's office there. Mm-hmm. Some people say he also used his house for mortuary when people died on the island, which could be true because you're on an island. If right. it's 1880s,
you wouldn't have a lot of place to store.
Right. There's no high-speed ferry, so,
right.
you know. And then, again, whether they broke up the rooms and made several rooms, they did rent out rooms for summer guests, too. So we leaped on this because this was reputed to be haunted, and we wanted to grab this chance when we had it. So again, it's March, it's cold, it was raining, it was like freezing cold, but we had two distinct EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, that we got there. One, we were in, each room was named for someone in the Champlin family. I don't remember this first case what the room name was, but three of us are in the room. It's like any bed and breakfast. There's a bed right. in there, there's a dresser, there's a chair maybe. They're not huge rooms, but.
Probably antiques, you know.
Yeah,
A dry sink or something.
Yep. So we're, Buddy and I each have a recorder, piece of equipment we should talk about earlier. And we just put them on the bed, wherever it's easiest to put them. And we're talking, again, it's March, so it's a little bit windy. The old window was rattling a little bit, so we made note of that, which is something you get in the habit of doing pretty quickly when you're investigating. If we heard the window rattle, we would say that, so our audio picks it up. We would say the window's naturally rattling because it's windy outside.
Right.
So when we go back to listen later, we don't think, there's a ghost trying to get in or out. The interesting thing was, though, we were talking about it, and what we picked up on audio without realizing it was a woman's voice. Sounds like an older woman. But she says, and this is a Class A EVP, which means it's clear as a bell. There's no question about what the words are. She says, "Do you want me to open up a window?" Now, wow. To get a whole sentence is amazing, because usually you might get a word or two. Clear as a bell, though. Do you want me to open up a window? Again, we didn't hear it at the time. With our own ears, but later on we were like, because we had been talking about it, so it made sense. The other one is kind of a funny one. We were down, this room I remember, it was called Mama's Room. And we'd been there for a while, so we're kind of relaxing. You know, at first you're all a little nervous, you're a little excited. Then after a while you kind of relax and start jumping a little bit. So we walk in to Mama's Room. Again, we place our recorders on the bed. Two of them, and Buddy is like, "Okay, come on, Mrs. Champlin, let's start hearing something from you. What do you have to say?" And I'm like, "Buddy," he said, "you have to be respectful to this woman. She's an older woman. You know,
right.
Let's show some respect." And I kind of scolded him a little, jokingly, but still. And then so Scott's a quiet person,
right?
Soft-spoken, I should say. So he said, "Hello, Mrs. Champlin," and that's all he said. And then on the recording right after that, you hear, "Hello."
Oh,
again, nice. One word, but clear as a bell, older woman's voice. Mm-hmm. And it's not, she didn't say anything when Buddy was being.
Bullying
again,
her.
You have to treat these people with respect,
exactly.
Because whether they're dead or alive. You know?
I get it, yeah.
You treat them the way you would if they were still living. So that was pretty good that she said hello. She must have liked Scott a little bit better. So that was the Hygieia House, bed and breakfast in Block Island, Rhode Island. Another one.
Pick your favorite, because I think we're going to run out of light soon.
Uh-oh. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. All right, I'm going to tell you a residential case. Very small apartment. It turned out Buddy and I were the only ones that could do it, which was good because it was probably like maybe 400 square feet. I mean, it was small.
It's tiny.
the young mother had probably a two-year-old and a baby, and there was just stuff going on that she couldn't figure out, so she called us in. We checked every room out, but we end up in the baby's room where the crib is, and one thing, we're standing there, we're asking questions, but we hear, it's an old building, again, it's like a three-story,
right,
you know, those ones in every city, and we hear the doorknob jangle. So we're just like, okay, did you hear that? And when it did, we hadn't asked anything, but on the recorder we heard, I can't open this.
Oh.
So we did hear on the recorder the jangling of the metal doorknob and then someone saying, I can't open this. And then we were standing by the crib and we said, I want to say it kind of verbatim here. I said, do you watch over the children? Is it you? It's okay if you do. You can let us know. And we got an EVP saying, thank you, twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was two different voices.
Right.
So whether it was two different, it was female.
Right.
Whether it was two women, we're not sure. That's what it appeared to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one where we think it might have been a relative who was just keeping an eye on.
Right.
On the babies, which it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. So... we didn't have to do anything other than that. She was happy just that we had some evidence for
right.
her, and it substantiated what was happening to her. The other one, this is kind of a funny one. I just, if you want me to wrap it with this
sure, one, that would be great.
Okay. There's a place...
Before we end up sitting here in the dark.
Okay. There's a place that was not far from where I lived in Rhode Island, and it's called Smith's Castle. It's not a castle, it's a wooden structure. It was built in 1687, I believe. And it was more like a fort to some extent. There were soldiers that would go in and out. A lot of, I think it's Wampanoag Indians in that area. So a lot of military stuff going on. But anyway, we were able to investigate that a few times. And I was upstairs, the whole group was with us. And, you know, you stand around a lot, especially in historic houses. You don't want to be sitting on a 200 or 300-year-old chair. At least not, I don't want to. So I said, I got to sit down. So that means sitting on the floor. So I get down, and, you know, I'm like grunting and groaning, and I had to tag it because I said, in the story I said, Catherine, my name is Catherine, I said, Catherine getting down on the floor, just so they knew the grunts and groans weren't ghosts making noises, it was me. Well, the funny part is, when we reviewed that audio, when I said Catherine grunting and groaning, somebody said, geezer! Like I'm an old geezer! It was actually a ghost voice that said that. And they never let me forget that because I was probably the oldest member in the group. So there are ghosts that have senses of humor too.
Yes.
But that was a funny one. But again, didn't hear it with our own ears. Heard
only
it back
heard
on,
it in the EVP. Well, that's pretty cool.
Reviewing the audio. So,
Trink, I'm so thrilled that we got to do this today.
I'm so glad
that I can share it with everybody out there at Uncensored Land. I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. And Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.